Here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio, WRVA Home Improvement Shop. This is the Home Show with me, your humble home improvement guru, Richard McCann. Welcome, everybody, to a rainy, foggy, but warmer. I can live with a little warmer. I'm okay with that. Saturday morning, right here on News Radio WRVA. I hope everybody's having a wonderful day. I'm starting to get that those Christmas details taken care of, I hope. I personally will be heading out there myself here shortly. Not looking forward to it. Don't know where I got to go. Paul, I know you said you've done some of your shopping, but do you have any tricks of the shopping trade that you would like to share with me? Because I hate the malls. Mm. I don't like fighting the people.
I'm with you on both of those.
I have in the past gone to Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Beat the crowds.
Well, yeah, that's true.
They're open 24 hours.
Are you beating the crowds at 2 a.m. or are you more following the crowds after 2 a.m.? Because you're in that middle ground where it's like you're up before most people, but you're also up past the time that most people are.
What's surprising is how many people have the same idea, I think, is what's really to be out there. But for little stuff, I'll hit Walmart. The more, you know, personal gifts.
Right.
I like to shop local.
There
that's,
you go.
That's more me. But you know, I gotta buy ammo for my nephew. You know, I'm proud. Hey, his family decided that it was time to learn some gun safety, and they bought him a .22 rifle, and they took him to classes to learn how to use it, which is exactly what I have suggested many times. And I gotta buy pajamas, and I gotta buy something for the brother-in-law. I don't know what that's going to be yet. Actually, I have an idea, but he might be listening, so I think I'll keep that to myself. Shh. But, it's going to be a great weekend. We are heading toward the holiday, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are, too. 345-1140 is the phone number. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. Joe in Midlothian.
Hello. I have a question about pipes under the house. Is there a way to insulate them or do something to make sure they don't freeze in severely cold weather? I've always lived here in Richmond, but I imagine people that live up in Minnesota and places like that, they have to think about that, don't they?
Well, one of the reasons they do think about it in areas like that, in the northern areas where it gets colder, and that is why they have these things called basements. You know, it's a conditioned space that has the pipes in it. If you go New Jersey, New York especially, when I lived up there, everybody has a basement. I don't insulate any of the pipes in my house because I have a basement. My boiler's in the basement, so it keeps all that space warm. Now, are you on a crawl space?
Correct. I don't have a basement.
Okay, that's fine. Have you closed up the vents all the way around your house?
Yes.
Excellent. So the next thing you want to do I don't know if you want to. You might not want to. I may be very presumptuous. They make pipe insulation. It's a foam round tube. It comes in all the sizes, half, three quarter, which that's all you should need in your house. And, you know, it just splits down the middle. You wrap it around the pipe and you just keep moving on. I tend to insulate the cold water pipes because they're going to freeze faster than the hot water. Usually you're running hot water, but you can wrap all of them up, and that should help. Now, if you don't have a crawl space closed up and you start getting cold air blowing underneath it, that's when you start getting frozen pipes.
All right. If it's closed and I have the insulation on, how cold can it get and I'll still be safe?
You mean underneath the house?
No, I mean the outdoor temperature. If it goes to like 10 below or 20 below, and I've got the crawl space, all the vents closed, and I've got foam insulation on the pipe. Am I going to be okay? Or?
Well, I mean, what happens is if it gets below freezing underneath the house, they'll freeze. You might have a little bit more protection because of the insulation, but it's not going to get that cold. You have residual heat from your heating system underneath there, and you're not letting the air blow underneath there.
And from the earth, I guess.
A little bit. I mean, in the summertime, it's beautiful lying underneath a house. You know, it's nice and cool. You just pull your shirt back up and let that belly rub against the dirt. It's nice and wonderful. But it's also warmer underneath a house in the wintertime than it is outside. So
right.
As long
so
as you keep...
You don't have a guess as to, how cold it can get and I'd still be safe with foam insulation and...
Water freezes at 32 degrees. So if it gets below freezing under the house, then it's going to freeze. That has no point of reference to the outside.
And the insulation doesn't really change that?
It helps some, but still, you know... It gets cold enough underneath your house, they're going to freeze and bust. What kind of pipe do you have underneath there anyway?
I guess it's PVC. I'm not, the house was built in 2001, so I guess it's PVC.
Well, I mean, if it's white and flexible, that is PEX. PEX can freeze and expand and not burst. If it is white and hard, it is CPVC or PVC, and when that stuff freezes, and it will explode like an overcooked chicken bone. All right. So
all right.
Let's focus.
Are there other alternatives? I guess I could.
You could pay somebody to come in and create a conditioned space underneath your house, meaning it's completely sealed up, completely insulated, and you are actually pumping heat or air conditioning into that space.
Any idea how much that costs?
Not a clue.
$5,000, $10,000,
$20,000. Joe, I'm being real sweet here right now, but I said not a clue.
Okay. Who does that?
Air Resolutions.
Okay.
All right, Joe, you have a wonderful Christmas.
On the insulation, who does that?
You do.
Oh, so nobody like your Bremac guys would do that?
Oh, yeah. If you want to pay a plumber to do it, they'll do it. Joe, okay. I'm out of time.
Oh.
345-1140. Joe just wore me out, and the show only just started there, Paul. This is The Home Show. Rich McCann, News Radio, WRVA. Welcome to The Home Show. Hey, Paul. You haven't been here for a while.
Yes, sir.
You noticed I handled that very well. Our last caller.
The caller. Okay.
I didn't get frustrated.
No.
Okay, because, one, it's getting really close to Christmas.
Yes.
And either John Reed or Jeff Katz put an elf in a shelf in here. And that sucker's watching me. And he's going to report to Santa if I'm naughty. So.
Got to stay above board over there.
Yeah. He's watching me. Okay, I don't know much about the whole elf in a shelf thing, but I love on Facebook the people that make him do some of the most crazy things. I saw one where he's like, they made a snowman, and he's running the snowman over a cheese grater, and like little mini marshmallows are underneath it. I enjoyed that absolutely thoroughly. 345-1140, that's how you get through to The Home Show. Like I said, getting close to Christmas. Next week we will be doing our Christmas show, which means Christmas music. And I'm trying. I don't know if it's going to happen, so bear with me. But I am trying to get someone to come in and record "Twas the Night Before Christmas." I think Paul knows who I'm talking about. I am trying.
Okay. Are you about to name drop? I didn't know if you were doing this as a little Christmas tease or what.
It might actually. It might get some attention. I'm trying to get Angela Fountain to come
in. Yes.
Okay. And she did that beautiful rendition of Goodnight Moon for us.
That's right. I heard about that. I was not here for that, but I remember you telling me about
it. And I've never lost my mind since you've been, when you come in. I only use it when I lose my mind. It just calms me down, brings me up. Having her read The Night Before Christmas would be fantastic, and I'm doing what I can. She's a busy lady. It's Christmas time.
Right.
We'll see what happens. But That would be pretty sweet.
Is that all you would bring her in here for? You would never talk about anything else? Just be like, could you just read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, please?
I think that would be one of the best Christmas presents ever.
That would be a great way to end one of your shows. Like,
that's
if you
what
do
I'm
the
saying.
Show right before Christmas, like
exactly.
The last segment, just have her read it as you go out.
Right. I mean, last year we ended the show with the Dropkick Murphys Christmas song, so which is probably my favorite Christmas song. I don't know if you won't be here next week, but I'll make sure you get a copy of it.
Nah.
So, all right. 3, 4, 5. We just go off on tangents. You'd think after all this time I'd have like a set course for what I do.
Well, it's maybe not so much that you don't have a set course. It's just how much you divert from the set course.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. My mind wanders too much. Well, the doctor I had in here last week, okay, Dr. Brian Meyer, who's a clinical psychologist. And by the way, people, I'm going to say this again. You know, this time of year is very, very hard on people. You know, you might know somebody who seems like they're just not themselves. Talk to them, see how they're doing. We did a long conversation about suicide prevention. There were things I learned I had no clue about when he was in here. And we also talked about opioid addiction and what this time of year does to certain vets. And here's the thing. The very first time he was in here, and I don't know if you were here, Paul, or if it was Matt, but the very, very first time, and I've known him for years, the very first time we finished the show, it was all said, all done, we're going to go to lunch, and as soon as we logged off the show, he looked at me really weird. I'm like, okay, what? He goes, near as I can tell, you're thinking about between 4 and 5 things at the exact same time. How do you do that? And the response is, well, you've seen how the show turns out.
Yeah, if he's listened to the show at length for any at any point,
he would know how.
You
never know where it's going to go. But that's what's the fun of it. All right, so 3, 4, 5, 11, 40. You know what? I missed out on doing this in the early show, and I'm trying to help some people out because this time of year, look, we just got a huge amount of snow, which was fun. Well, it was going to be fun. I was really excited about it. You know, a snow day for Richard. Yay! Because when you're a contractor, there's no snow days. And if it's on the weekends, there's no snow days for me. So this was like my first time I was going to get a snow day, all excited about it. And then I get a phone call from my buddy Charlie. And he wants to know if I can help him move an engine lift. Okay, that shouldn't take long. I can get back and enjoy my snow day. Woohoo! Yeah. Ended up pulling a V8 motor out of a Jeep for like 6 hours. But knock on wood, it's the first time, when I was a younger man, and people should know this, when I was a younger man, I refused to wear safety equipment. Like, you know, gloves! Who needs gloves? Gloves, you can't do anything with gloves on. Knee pads! Oh, they just bunch up. I regret it to this day. Pulling that motor, I did wear a pair of my mechanics gloves. You know, you've seen them. When they first came out, they were ridiculously expensive. Now everybody makes their own version of it. But I had a pair that was given to me by Bremac. And here's the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, if you have a guy or a woman or child that does handy stuff, likes to work with their hands, please avoid something like the plague. And that would be anything that is white. White shirts? No, thank you. White pants? Uh-uh. And Bremac had happened to give me a pair of white gloves. They're nice gloves. They're black now. Yeah, they're covered in oil. So my boss at the real estate office gave me a white shirt. I'm like, really? Seriously, dude? I wore it once. Stained. So we have a lot of water. We have a lot of snow that's melting. They're calling for rain for the rest of the day. And I want you to do me and you a couple of favors. I mean, it's not raining really hard right now. And this is a perfect time to go and check on your crawl space. Now, I know a lot of people don't want to go in there. I get it. Be it claustrophobia, be it fear of spiders. And those little camel crickets, everybody has them. Everybody. So just deal with it. We all do. I understand you don't want to crawl underneath there. It's not comfortable. That's why you pay people like me to do it. But at the very least, grab yourself a good flashlight, open up the space, lay down on a piece of cardboard so you don't get soaking wet, and stick your head in and shine a light around and look for glistening of water. Look along the walls, see if any of the walls are wet. Look around the floor, see if there's any puddles, because we are currently number three. This is the third wettest year we've had since we started recording it. We could make it to number two. It's a possibility. But this amount of water can run into places that you never saw water before. Like I said, I've seen water in my basement. I've been there 17 years. I've never seen water in my basement. Yet there it is. The other thing I want you to do is go up into your attic slash, you know, what do you call the, you know, the storage above your house? Some people call it a storage, an attic. Some people call it a crawl, whatever. And again, I want you to start looking for water around the bottom of your sheeting. Do you have any places that it's getting wet? Pay special attention around chimneys, around vents going up for your plumbing, and down by the soffit where your gutters are. We had one of those weird rains where it got just warm enough that it started to melt, but at the same time was causing icicles. That's called an ice dam. And that's how water can end up running back into your house. Also, if you'd never cleaned your gutters, yeah, it can run back in there for that too. So this is a good opportunity. I'm not asking you to crawl up in the attic. I'm not asking you to crawl underneath the house. I'm just telling you, take a look. Know what you're getting into. My name is Richard McCann. The phone number is 345-1140. That's 345-1140. You can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. And that's how you get through to me, Richard McCann, on the Home Show, News Radio, WRVA. Richard McCann on News Radio, WRVA, 345-1140 is the phone number. Tom in Goochland.
Good morning, Rich. How are you?
I'm good, Tom.
Thanks for taking my call.
That's my job.
Just had a plumber out there at our house to do some plumbing, and we have a hot water heater that's about 10 years old, but it's up in the, it's an 80-gallon because we have a jetted jacuzzi tub, and when we had the heating people over, they thought they heard some noises in it, so we were looking to, my big concern is that it being over the bedroom and being on that floor, we were thinking about moving it, down to the basement, but he came up with a good suggestion, and instead of getting an 80, he suggested that we replace it with a 50 and go down into our crawl space, which is like 10 feet high. It's a basement. We just never had it, finished. But and put a 40 gallon. Does that sound like a good idea to you?
No.
That would be dedicated right to the tub. You could put it right underneath there so plumbing would be minimal. So you think that's a good idea?
No.
Okay.
Look. So instead of first of all, putting an 80-gallon water heater, did you say in the attic?
It's in the attic, yes. It's in the second floor, yes.
Okay, so the plumber who put that there in the first place should be drug out into the street and shot. Just my opinion. Don't take that seriously. What I would do if I was you, I would get a propane tank, install a propane tankless water heater, and you're not taking up any space at all.
Okay.
I mean, my buddy Frank, his daughter came home. He's like you. He's on a well. He has a propane tankless water heater. His daughter took a 45-minute shower. He calculated it out to costing 19 cents.
Wow.
Okay. So the price of two water heaters is pretty much the price of a tankless water heater. And here's the nice thing. Call your propane company. There are several of them out there that are running specials on those things installed. Now, you got to sign a two-year contract, but who cares?
Right. Well, we already have gas there already, so AmeriGas is already in there, installed in our home. So we probably do that.
You put in a T, rerun a couple of lines, and you're done.
Okay, great. One other question, too. He brought up the fact that there's now something that you can, for peace of mind until we switch over, you can install where I guess it sits in the pan, and if it senses water, it'll automatically cut the water supply off. Are you familiar with anything like that?
Yeah, I've seen that, and they work. It's older tech, though. The newest mm-hmm. thing out there is called Flow,
mm-hmm.
and it is a valve that is a smart valve in your home. It talks to your cell phone. It can register one drop of water an hour. You can turn it on and off from your cell phone. So if the kids do take too long of a shower, you just shut it down. And it recognizes when you bust a leak or a hose, it recognizes that and will either contact you and ask to turn it off or do it itself.
Wow. Thank you.
And Bremax, the only person that has it so far.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you very much. It's been very informative, and I appreciate you taking my call today.
No problem, Tom. Have a Merry Christmas.
All right. Have a great Christmas, too. Thank you.
Instead of having one water heater, let's have two. Where's the logic in that? None. 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 I'll come back to it. Green Ann and Ryko.
Hi, Brother Richard. I'm a past master of Fraternal 53, and I've been enjoying your show for years. But I'm going to go back to your first caller regarding the insulation. And an engineer friend of mine told me that water that has been heated, as in a hot water pipe, will freeze more quickly than water that has not been heated, because the heating process drives out the dissolved gases, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, whatever, because their freezing temperatures is much, much lower than the freezing temperature of just plain water. and I have I'm in my second now house since 1972 in Richmond, where I moved back to after I graduated from college, and I have insulated with the foam rubber all of my hot water pipes in both houses, and have never had a freeze up at all.
Right, and you're also got the whole place closed up, so it's not getting below freezing underneath your house.
Exactly.
That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. But I would recommend to your first caller to go ahead and insulate those hot water pipes, because, well, for one thing, you get you don't lose the heat from your hot water in the pipe, and it'll keep, so you will save on heating or gas or electric, whatever heating you have. And it also will guard against those pipes bursting, which will happen before the cold water pipes burst, because they've had the gases expelled from the water.
Okay, so just Greeny, it's not like me to question a brother. Mm-hmm. It's not like me to question a brother.
Right.
But I'm still going to go back and double check on that one. But look, why don't we split the difference? Insulate everything and close up the crawl space.
Oh, sure. That's the best thing to do at all. I'm not a scientist or an engineer. I'm just quoting a good friend who is an engineer who told me that, and I'm going by what he told me.
I mean, I understand, like, if I take a glass of hot water outside in cold weather and throw it into the air, it will freeze faster than if I take a cold water outside and throw it into the air, because the molecules are separated because they're hot, so they're pushing away from each other. That much I know. Much I'll give them. As far as separating gases, that doesn't... I don't know.
That's just what he told me. Now I wasn't about to argue the point with him, because I have no educational backing on that kind of stuff.
Oh, I love arguing with engineers, but you know who's more fun to argue with?
Who is that?
Architects. They're the best. Greeny, I gotta go.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, architects are a blast to argue with. Are you kidding me? Pete in Chesterfield.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm good, Pete.
All right. Hey, I'm on a well, and I have what I'm going to refer to. I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I have a jet pump, not a submersible pump.
Okay, so stop. The pump is somewhere you can see it in your house or underneath the house.
Correct. Not a house, not in the house. It's actually in a well, house.
Okay, but that's a jet pump. Okay, good, good, good. We're all right.
Okay, cool. Can I increase my water pressure in my house by doing anything to that, either the pressure switch or the pressure tank?
Yes. How old is the pressure tank?
The pressure tank, it looks fairly new. It is not holding water. It's actually mounted on top of the pump itself.
Then no.
And it's holding pressure. Yeah,
but it only looks like it's about the size of a milk jug or slightly bigger, right?
No. It's like a 5 gallon bucket size.
Okay. Man, I wish that pressure tank was bigger. Here's what you need to do. You can upgrade your pressure switch. So you probably got, what, maybe a 2040 in there right now?
Actually, yeah, I did have a 2040, and it was cycling on and off. I checked the pressure tank first, but I was getting a weird cycle, and maybe because of the temperature change outside, I don't know. But I do know that pressure switch was getting old, so I switched it. And I went to a 30-50. Yes. And I have 28 pounds of pressure in my tank right now.
Then that's about all you could do. I wouldn't go any higher than that.
Okay. Now, here's another question. I did install the switch yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and it will not turn off. I was standing in the rain, and I didn't really have time to troubleshoot it that much.
Are you getting water?
Yeah, but the pump won't turn off, so I just turn the power off to it until I get the chance to fix it today. Which brought up my question is, if I can raise the water pressure into the house.
That's what I was saying. If you raise it up to 30-50, you should increase your pressure inside by 10 pounds.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
All right.
All right, mate. You really answered my question, and thank you very much.
No problem. Paul's making faces at me. Gotta go. This is the Home Show News Radio, WRVA. Rich McCann, News Radio, WRVA. Welcome, everybody, to a beautiful Saturday. I like it anyway. Tim and Henrico, what is going on?
Not much. Riding around on a rainy day.
Be safe out there. There's some flooding out there I want you to watch out for.
I'm going slow enough where I'll catch it.
Yes.
I'm not really got anything a whole lot to do, just fiddling around. The guy that called before, he says his pump steadily runs. Wouldn't that be a foot valve not closing?
It could be. I mean, here's my thing. When it comes to jet pumps, what's the phrase I'm looking for? I hate them. I think they're the dumbest thing on the
really
planet.
Good,
it makes no sense to have a jet pump when you got everything you need right there to put in a submersible.
That's true.
And if I was to take the time on radio to try to troubleshoot every single solitary thing that could possibly be going on with a jet pump, I would need more than a two-hour show.
Well, yeah, it's either air or something to make it run. So, I mean, if it's not holding pressure, it's going to run constantly.
But he did say, hey, he has water in the house. So,
well, yeah, that's true. It is still pulling water, but the foot valve is not closing, so when it stops running, it leaks out, so it's always constantly running.
And all of that, again, it's the problem with a jet pump. I mean, And here's the reason people still have jet pumps. You ready for this? I can work on it. Where if you have a submersible pump, you don't have to work on it!
Well, you know, most jet pumps, the wells are only 60 feet deep or so. If so, even if you did put a submersible in there, you could pull it out by hand. So,
I'm not saying I can do it now, but I mean, I have pulled 150 feet out of a well. Okay, so it can be done. But yeah, it really does. It all comes down to people keep their jet pumps because their grandfather taught them how to work on them all those years ago. And they're just mystified by something that just goes down to the well and stays there for 10 or 12 years. All right, Tim, you never turned down your radio, did you? Yep. All right, Paul, I understand it's been a while. Are you not informing people to turn down the radios?
How's this my fault?
You are the call screener.
Okay. Hi. I can tell them to do something. Doesn't mean they're going to do it.
Say it with authority.
That also does not always work. Say it with authority. Or whatever word you just use.
You don't watch South Park, do you?
No, I don't.
Authority.
You and Gary ask me this question every time I'm in here.
Well,
the answer is the same every time.
You know, he and I are those geek idiots that we just watch all that nonsense.
You guys are such nerds, man.
I
thought I was a little bit of a nerd, but you guys.
No, see, I've been saying this for a while now. It is good to be someone my age because we nerds now rule the world. When I was your age, I would have killed to see an X-Men movie or an Avengers movie. Now, my people have risen up.
Yeah. And they're a lot louder than they used to be, that's for sure.
And what you can look forward to when you're my age is your people making a SpongeBob movie.
I don't look forward to that one little bit.
A live-action Rick and Morty. A live-action My Little Pony.
No, you're with getting the further and further away.
With the bronies. What was your jam when you were younger?
Oh, man. Magic School Bus. I watched Arthur. Like, those were my shows growing up.
So wholesome. Look at that.
Yeah. Okay. You know my background, though.
I do know your background.
So that shouldn't come as a shock.
I know. That's why.
But I love that. Those were my shows. And they were the educational shows, too.
Sure, sure.
You know, so we did a lot of that. There's a whole long list there, but... Never. I think My Little Pony was a little bit after my time. Anyway.
A little bit. Yeah. The fascination with My Little Pony.
I was probably closer to a teenager when that was big.
See, mine, we were like G.I. Joe, Transformers.
Oh, I love G.I. Joe.
That was my jammy jam when I was, you know, that age. And so when they made those movies, and they were awful, it really broke my heart.
Yeah, well, the big thing now is that you mentioned live action. They're making all these old Disney movies in live action. Now they're remaking Aladdin. They're going to remake The Lion King next year.
I've seen the trailer for The Lion King. The trailer for Dumbo will make you weep.
I'm not ready.
I'm not ready.
Like all the kids my age, those are movies we watched growing up, and now they're being remade. So that's kind of our that's our version of your comic books or comic movies being remade.
Exactly. I'm happy at this time of year. I'm happy to be alive. And I'm happy I work with young people. You know, there's plenty of people out there who say, oh, I can't stand millennials. You know, I work with three here at the station. Some of the hardest working people I've ever met. Joe and Hopewell.
Question about some insulation.
Okay.
We're building a new house.
Good.
And I've had the foam insulation sprayed in the walls 1 inch thick. Then we've gone and filled the rest of it up with the insulation that's blown in. It's like newspaper.
Cellulose.
You know what I'm talking about? Cellulose, yes. They've had it blown in, and it's been in for about 8 or 9 days, and it's still moist. I've got a propane-type heater in the house and fans blowing, but is that going to cause a problem when I go putting my sheetrock in?
Probably. If you're trapping moisture inside the walls, that's going to help rot the studs. How'd it get wet in the first place?
Well, they had to moisten it some to blow it into the walls.
You know what? I'm going to say this, Joe. I might be outside of my realm of expertise because I've never heard of that. In fact, I don't even know why they spray foamed it and just didn't spray foam the whole darn thing.
Well, I'm not for sure. This is somebody else that's building the house, and I know their problem, so... I guess I'll just.
You know what I want you. Here's what I want you to do, Joe. And I'm close to getting out. You know, leaving for this hour. I want you to talk to Kirk Akey. Okay. His number's 216-9371. And if Kirk is listening, he can call me. He can call the show because I'm outside of my depth on this one. I don't want to give you bad advice because I'm. It sounds like putting something wet in a wall and closing it up is a bad thing.
All right, so it's 216.
9371.
9371.
There you go. Go for
it. All righty, thanks.
Thank you, Joe.
Bye.
putting something wet in the walls. That's nuts.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm far from a home improvement expert. Even I know that's probably a bad idea.
It doesn't seem very good. But don't worry, we'll get to the bottom of it. We'll take more of your calls. And hey, don't forget to follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. The early show is already up on the webpage. That's WRVA.com. And we'll take some more of your calls right here on the Home Show.
Here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Welcome to hour number dose of the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. My name is Richard McCann, your humble home improvement guru. Oh, man. Paul, did somebody open a window or something? It is freezing in here.
Maybe not a window, but we did open up the air a little more. I turned down the heat a bit.
Oh, okay. See, that's the difference between where you're sitting, where I'm sitting. You've got all that equipment wrapped around you
yes.
and everything like that. Yeah, we're swinging meat in this place. 345-1140. Danny in Chesterfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm calling that question about, I have a lot of sediment in my shower head. It seems like I'm constantly having to take it off, empty out the screen, and put it back on. I live right in the middle of Chesterfield over by the airport, so I really didn't think it would be that big a problem. So I was wondering if you had any solutions or fixes or anything I can do.
Are you...
Sorry, go ahead.
You're on county water?
Yep, county water, and I just put a hot water heater in probably less than 5 years ago.
Oh, but you haven't been draining it.
Have I been draining it?
Yeah, that's the question.
No, not since I put it in, no.
Okay, and the sediment that you're talking about, what color is it?
It's white. Some are flakes of white and black. They are kind of gritty, so it's not plastic or metal. I've let it dry out, and it's kind of chalky feeling. So I didn't think it was from anything that I did putting in the water tank.
No, but county water does build up sediment that is kind of white and chalky when it dries out, and that builds up in the bottom of your tank. And if you have one of those quote unquote self-cleaning ones, that kind of stirs the stuff up. And you're not finding it in any other aerators anywhere else?
Well, I had to change out. I actually replaced a kitchen faucet because it got so low, and that was probably a year ago or more. And that was before I thought about putting in like CLR or vinegar or something like that. So I just went ahead and replaced it. But that did get pretty low flow as well. Before, it had just like the contractor grade shower head on there, so I really didn't notice it, and I put on one with the adjustable heads, have the screen and whatnot, and that's when I really started noticing the flow start to go down. And initially I would have to take it off every month or so, and now it's like almost once a week I have to take it out, shake it out, rinse it, and put it back up.
I would drain the water heater. I would flush it out. That's my first instinct. You know, that's the thing about doing a radio show about stuff like this. There's a thousand different things that it could be, but what you're describing is the same gooey mess that I pull out of water heaters that have been in for a while. And it would, in some cases, it'll just stir it up and blast it up in. And if you've got, it's probably a water saver shower head of some type, which means the orifice is smaller and it's just collecting in there a lot faster.
Okay. Maybe that's it. Maybe I should try a different shower head after, if that doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah, you could try that.
I only use really one setting, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's only one place to start. That's the very beginning, and I would say that I would drain the water heater.
Okay.
All right, Danny. All right. If that doesn't work, we'll find another solution.
Thanks. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Bye. All right, that's what I was waiting for. Kirk.
Hey, Richard.
What's this nonsense about wetting down insulation?
All right. Well, cellulose insulation most times is just blown into the attic where it's sitting on top of you know, all, you know, your sheetrock and your joists or any framing materials up there. When you're putting it into a wall and your sheetrock isn't up, which, you know, of course they can blow it in after sheetrock is up by making a little hole.
I know. We did that in the house I grew up in.
But blowing it in, blowing it onto the wall prior to sheetrock, they do wet it. I'm not certain if it's with water or a chemical, but they blow it in there. And, of course, it's organic, so it's always going to retain some level of moisture. I don't know what his moisture content is and what is the recommended content that's allowed to be in there prior to covering. I was actually listening on the app the gentleman was talking to you, and he called me. So I didn't get to hear the end of your discussion with him.
Kirk, talk into the phone, son.
But the moisture content up to 12%, you don't hit a medium moisture content till you hit 12%. So 11% or less is normal and is okay in most framing materials. 16% is when you hit high and definitely need something to remediate. But when the gentleman called me, I told him to call his insulation contractor and see what the recommended level is of what it can be when you cover it. But certainly it may not even be water that they mixed it with.
Again, this is all new to me. Insulation is changing faster than anything else right now in the trades. All right, so I appreciate you calling in, bro.
No problem.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. 345-1140. Ryan, Jerry, I see you. I really do. But there's only so much time at a time. So I will get to you right after the break. So I guess there's a certain level of moisture that is okay. Whether it's water or not, I'm still trying to picture this in my head. I mean, we used to use just bad insulation. And then they are now doing things where they're spray foaming the inside of walls. Why this guy, though, he said they spray foamed and then they put cellulose. Doesn't make any sense to me. Looks like I've got homework to do this week. My name is Richard McCann. This is The Home Show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. Ryan, thank you for being so patient. What's going on in Charles City?
Hey, man, I called in last week about those gas logs.
Yeah.
That I couldn't get lit. Yeah, I just wanted to give you an update. I listened to the guy that called in right after me. The next day, you know, we had all that snow, and of course, out in Charles City, we lost power.
Of course you did.
So no heat. But I listened to the fellow that called in after me. I held down that pilot light, the pilot setting for about 15 minutes, and then I hit the light, lit right up.
I'm just blown away that it takes that long to bleed propane. I really am, but I'm glad it worked.
Yeah, I appreciate him calling in. It was it's the first time I've ever started it up since we moved there 8 years ago, so...
Did it keep you warm?
Oh, man, it was great. Loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I'm going to hook mine back up this weekend. Just in case we lose power, I have a freestanding gas set. I haven't used it in years, but yeah, I'm going to do the same.
All right, man. Well, you stay warm, and I appreciate the show.
Hey, man, thanks for holding, and I appreciate you getting back.
All right, take it easy.
Bye. 345-1140. Jerry and Prince George.
Richard.
Jerry.
I'm calling about... I think it was Joe and Hopewell called in about cellulose insulation.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I'm not a insulation contractor, but I've been around it. I've watched them spray it in wet. A lot of times, if there's not a back wall on that stud, they'll put a netting. They spray it in. They squeegee it down. It does have moisture in it. But I heard him say something about putting propane heat in that house.
Well, he said he put a propane heater in because the house is being built.
Right, right. That's not a good thing because I used to do piles of flooring work, and we had to put a lot of Luon down, and we had issues with it because builders would not put current in that house. They would not put the permanent heat in that house. If you put propane in that house, tank propane, or like a submarine kerosene heater, there's articles out. If I burn 10 gallons of kerosene in that house while I'm working, I'm going to put 10 gallons of water in that house. And his windows are probably all condensating. with moisture out the yin yang. He's not going to get moisture out that insulation by running propane in that house. You know.
Wait a minute. Now, you're bouncing back and forth between propane and kerosene. Which is it?
Either one. If you're burning a liquid fuel in that house, a fuel, the amount you burn, like propane, whatever you burn, you're going to put that much water back in the house in condensation. And there's articles out on that. You're not drying that house out. You're heating it, but you're not drying it out. You'll keep sheetrock mud from freezing, but you're not going to really help it dry out. His fans are good. But the person building the house, I mean, I know they don't want to do it because it's a process when you put the heat pump on or whatever heat you have, and that comes later sometimes. But he'll be money ahead to get the permanent heat on in that house. It'll dry studs out. It'll dry sheetrock out. The paint won't crack as much. But I hear what he's saying, and I know he wants to get that moisture out, but he's... If he's putting,
he's actually, what you're saying is he's actually adding moisture. He's not doing away
right.
with it. Okay.
Yeah, he's pumping it in. But yeah, that's just it's not my opinion because I've read articles on it.
I tell you what, this
in
is,
magazines.
And
though.
This is exactly why people laugh at me about this. I like modular houses. And I'm not talking about mobile homes. I'm talking about modular houses that are
yes.
built in a conditioned factory. Yep. Therefore, they never get wet.
That's right.
So, okay, hopefully he's still listening, because that's something to think on.
Sure.
Have you been keeping...
All right.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Paul, have you been keeping track of how much homework I've got to do this week? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's a long list.
It's a lot. All right, so I got to figure out moisture from different heaters, how much moisture is in insulation. Oh, too much to do. Loretta in Williamsburg.
Good morning, Richard. I have a problem.
Oh, no.
I just had my fireplace chimney cleaned.
Sure.
And it hadn't been used for a long time, and I can't really start a fire very well, so I bought some of those Pine Mountain logs and followed all the directions, and about 5 minutes into the log burning, my eyes were burning, my living room was filling up with smoke, all my smoke alarms were going off. And this,
all right, wait, stop. Loretta, are you still in the house?
Yes.
With all that carbon monoxide in there?
Well, it happened actually Tuesday night.
Okay. All right. That's what... I had the feeling you were doing it right now.
No. And it really, I mean, it wasn't like black smoke, but it was enough to make me kind of cough. And so I took my little dog and we went outside. And unfortunately, this was a three-hour log. So I had 3 hours of smoke alarms going off, and I turned fans on. I did everything I could think of to get air circulating. What can I do? Is that usual after you have a fireplace, a chimney clean?
No, it sounds like the damper is closed.
Nope, that was the first thing I did. I followed all the directions, opened the damper, lit the log in the three places that it had arrows. I did did everything that I was supposed to do. And I don't know what to do to prevent this from happening in the future.
I would probably, one, call your homeowner's insurance because you've got some cleaning up to get done.
Yes.
Okay. And have them have somebody come out and look at the chimney.
Well, I just had it inspected. I paid $200 to have
Loretta, here's, yeah. Okay, I am not talking down to you, but I'm going to say this.
Oh, no, I know you're not.
Okay,
no.
Maybe later. there are very few chimney companies that I approve of.
Okay.
And the reason is this. To be a quote-unquote chimney sweep does not require a huge amount of tools. And it happens every year. Somebody, some young person, will go to work for a chimney company. He'll work for them for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Think they know everything there is to know and go out on their own and hang a shingle.
Okay.
Just because someone inspected it and gave it a clean bill of health does not mean they were right.
Okay. Do you think I should call this chimney company? It's a very reputable company.
If it's a very reputable company, I would word it like this. After you came and cleaned my fireplace and chimney and said it was okay, I attempted to light a fire in my fireplace. It sooted up my whole house. I was wondering if you would like to take a look at this before my homeowner's insurance does.
Okay, that's a good idea.
And
okay.
I want you to word it exactly like that.
Okay.
Okay? Just a little passive-aggressive. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I can do that.
And if they give you any flack whatsoever, say, that's fine. My insurance company will handle this. And they will be grass.
Okay, great. Thank you for your help.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
But next time, if something like that ever happens, don't wait a second. Get out.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't know how to put this fire out. We're not to close the glass doors.
And Loretta, that's the other thing. Today, not tomorrow, not the next day, today, you are going to go and buy a fire extinguisher that you can put on the hearth right next to your fireplace.
Okay. I had one, but I wasn't sure how to use it.
Now I might start talking down to you.
Okay.
Okay. It's you with a fire extinguisher, there's a pin.
Mm-hmm.
You pull the
pin.
You pull the pin, you aim the nozzle, you squeeze the handle.
Okay.
All right. There's instructions on it. I want you to go over it. In fact, here's an even better idea. When you pick up your fire extinguisher, on the way home, stop by a fire department that's right there close to you.
Right.
And they will show you how to use that.
Okay.
All right?
That's good advice. Thank you very much.
All right, Loretta. You scare me a little bit.
It scared me to death.
All right.
Tell you the truth.
I got to go.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Bye-bye. Christmas. This is The Home Show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. Jumping in with both feet. Alden in Richmond.
Yeah. We have a problem at our church. We have a basement so we can water coming in. And I think I heard you about 2 weeks ago. You said you put something in your basement. Why could you explain that? What's going on?
Okay, Alden, I want to make sure I heard all of that because your voice, that Barry White voice or that or you got a cold is a little... You have a basement.
Yeah, it leaks in the basement at our church.
At your church. Okay, I did hear church. All right. And how old is the church?
It's old. It's old. I guess about 100 years old or something.
Okay. I just want to make sure, it wasn't founded by Moses or something like that.
Not quite.
Not quite that old. Here's the thing, places like yours, and my house, okay, roughly the same age, almost, we have basements that never leaked until this year because we, got so much rain that it's going to find some place to go in. Used, on several different houses, a product called Dry Lock. And what it is, you go in there, you brush the walls down, you clean them down. You don't wet them. You just brush them down till all the loose stuff is gone. And you paint on this product called Dry Lock. And it's this heavy, let's say it's a paint. It's not exactly a paint. But what it does is it seals up the bricks. It's not pretty. It comes out in a green, but I'm pretty sure you can paint it later. And it doesn't smell very nice at the beginning. But... The do-it-yourself answer is put Dry Lock on the walls.
That's Dry Lock.
Dry Lock, L-O-K.
Okay.
Now, how big big of an area is leaking?
It's quite a bit area, you know.
I mean, you might want to talk to somebody like Air Resolutions about putting in a system. I mean,
we're going to find this Dry Lock at
Big Blue and Big Orange sell it.
Big Blue?
Or Big Orange.
Is that here in Richmond?
You do know that I'm using a euphemism for the largest home improvement stores on the planet, right? One of them's blue and one of them's orange.
One is blue and what's the other one?
Alden, go to Lowe's or Home Depot, okay?
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. Thank you. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I was going to say, I can always take that off the air. I could patch it back through over here, and we could go through that. But
no,
no. You know.
Look, the way I've always looked at it, they're not paying me to advertise their companies, but you have limited resources for the most part. I mean, there are still building supply companies out there. There's not many of them. So that's why I just, you know, it's easiest just to go to one of those. I mean, you probably could get some of it at Pleasance or True Value. Those are also places. Here's the funny thing. I moved back here in 1996, which is over 20 years ago. I came back to Richmond, and I was talking with my father. And I said, Pop, I saw this company up north that's going to put all the lumber yards out of business. And he says, never going to happen. I said, yeah, I've never seen anything like it. They have everything. Plumbing, electrical, they have everything. They're going to put us all out of business. And he goes, never going to happen. What's it called? Home Depot. I had never heard of it. Back when I started doing this kind of stuff, you want plumbing supplies, you go to a plumbing house. That's still a thing. You want HVAC supplies, that's still a thing. Same thing with electrical. They're a lot fewer and far between. But the days of the good old-fashioned lumber yard were down to maybe three. Everybody else packed up. There was one lumber yard over near the airport in Sandston. I mean, I'm not kidding when I can say we easily went there once a week. Easily. The big stores moving in town, they were gone quickly. But it doesn't mean that there's not competition, because there's certain things I cannot get unless I go to a lumber supplier. Yeah, I remember I was working on a boat. And I needed teak. Try getting teak from anybody but a lumber specialist. Try getting good, clear lumber. The thing about the lumber yards that are still there, they have the higher quality stuff. If I want plumbing supplies, I still go to a plumbing supply store, because I can actually ask for something. They know what I'm asking for, which is always nice. And they have it in stock. I can find it and I can get out of there. But that doesn't mean contractors aren't still using those big guys. And who knows, one day, you know, if they want to advertise on this show, I'll think about it. I'm not saying anything negative about them, because I tell you what, it's handy dandy. I'm in there all the time. I got my Christmas tree at Big Blue. It's right down the street. I got my tree. Yeah.
By the way, we have had people comment that back in the 70s and 80s, Big Blue was a nickname for IBM.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe, I don't know if that's what Alden was getting confused with, but some people hear that and think, IBM, why in the world would I find this Dryluck stuff at IBM?
Well, one, is IBM really a thing anymore?
I believe so.
You don't hear about it very often.
No, you don't.
One of my mother's first jobs was working on computers in the 60s with punch cards. Do you even know what those were, Paul?
Punch cards?
Punch card computers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, I've heard of them. Obviously never used one.
No, you never would have used one.
No, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No, I was doing research. I was listening to something the other day, and I guess in 1971, the internet was born or something like that. I was like, well, really? I didn't really know what it was until the late 80s, early 90s, and it wasn't all that. So there you have it. By the way, someone sent me this little thing. Gene sent me a picture of Santa Claus. It says, I've had a good look at your Facebook page. You're not naughty. You're disturbed. Well, duh. You do what I do. See if you don't lose your mind just a little bit. 345-1140 is how you get through to the show. One of my buddies, I put up the article about this E. coli fears prompted by cauliflower and lettuce recall. Yeah, we just had one. Now they're having another one. And my buddy Rob And he's in the food business. He said, the CDC is a joke. The Ramon scare was over 34 people in America getting sick. There's roughly 350 million people in America, and 34 got sick. You know, my question is, how does this start in the first place? And Brent said, well, the pickers don't have good bathroom breaks. That's a thought. Never really occurred to me. If you're out there in the middle of the field and nature calls, what do you do? It's one of those things I'll put up there. Other people asked me things I would live with, talk about today. One person asked about putting in a live tree versus an artificial. Pretty simple. Check all your lights. Make sure there's no frays, nicks, or bites. By the way, puppies love to chew on cords. And I don't know if it's the plastic or the feel of it, but they love to eat, chew on those things. So really do check over your lights. If they're old lights, ditch them. Get LEDs. They're a lot brighter. They don't put off heat, and they'll last a lot longer. Also, keep your tree watered and away from any heat sources. What I'm doing in my house, I have a wet towel over top of the radiator that's near the tree. We keep it wet. We have to do it like four times a day. But it's adding moisture to the house and keeping the tree from drying out. This, my friends, is the Home Show News Radio, WRVA. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. Welcome to the Home Show. I'm here every Saturday, 6 to 8, and then 10 until noon. Taking your calls at 345-1140. Reminding you, go to WRVA.com, click on my smirking face, and you can download podcasts of the show. So you missed anything? Don't worry about it. We got you covered. Also, get the radio.com app. That way you can listen to the show wherever you go, 345-1140. Tom and Glen Allen.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Show.
Thank you.
Still morning. Anyways, a little hint for the lady. Hopefully she's still listening with the we called it a downdraft in my house, but my dad always taught me when you light a fire on a cold or damp day especially, there's cold air in the chimney and it wants to come down. So you got to help it. With those little logs that you light the bag, don't create enough updraft by themselves. So we would form a little piece of paper, newspaper, and a cone, sort of, and get the draft going before we lit the log and let it. That way the smoke didn't come down into the house.
And you know, my Facebook friend Derek was texting me the same exact thing. You know, maybe there was too much negative pressure because the chimney was too cold. And I'm down with that. I agree with you. My thought is, though, that thing burned for 3 hours. So eventually, yeah, it would have heated it up enough that it would have sucked it out.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. But in the beginning, if you get it going up, then at least you don't have to worry about it. Because we've all had it happen. Maybe,
oh yeah,
that was the
we do it at Casa de McCann all the time. I want to burn something in the fireplace. I start with some newspaper to get the flue warmed up.
And a little thing on that UGL paint you were talking about, the dry lock. I used to work for another lumber yard. Do you remember Heckinger's? Have you ever heard that name?
You know, I was going to, when I was doing my little tirade, I was going to bring up Heckinger's. Now, who absorbed them?
They just went away because, they tried to merge with, there was a company here in Richmond. I forget Home. It was a green color. I forget what they tried to get together. They just couldn't compete against Lowe's and Home Depot.
No,
they amounted to. But we had in the paint department at our store, and I shopped there for many years before I worked there. But we had a UGL dry lock demo, like a cinder block, and water pumped over it for years, years and years and years, and it never leaked once. That had to have been 10 years that thing ran.
Well, here's a little inside baseball. I mean, that's amazing. That's why I like the product. But did you know Home Depot is so much bigger than Lowe's? It's ridiculous because they just bought Barnett. And if you're in the construction, you know who Barnett is. They're a company that's been around since the 60s, and they sell everything. And I couldn't believe they picked that company up.
They're a monster. Big Orange is a good name for it.
I like. Hey, look, the people are nice, and I get deals. I'm gonna shop there. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Thank you,
right.
Tom.
Have a good day. Merry Christmas.
I will. Merry Christmas, Tom in Midlothian.
Good morning. Last summer, I bought two large bottles of the Wet It and Forget It, and I put off applying it to my flatwork, my concrete patios, until I power washed them for the first time because they're about 12 years old, and also my wrought iron furniture, which I did and repainted, and I got that done, but I never did get around to applying the stuff. Should I wait until the freeze thaw and all this wet weather gets past, and wait till about mid-March or so to put that down?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I haven't played with the product much. My brother played with it on his roof, but he did that in like spring, early summer. And when it does, spring hits, I'm going to spray down the front half of my roof, because the front half is black and the back half is white, and it's all because of that algae. So,
right, yeah, I've just got one maybe 4-foot by 3-foot spot on the top of my roof for the first time, but it's northern exposure, so it stays darker and damper than, you know, the rest of the roof. I just didn't want the product to get diluted or, you know, washed away before it could really take a hold.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. It doesn't happen overnight. That you literally, they call it wet and forget, because it can take weeks.
Yeah, that's why I thought I'd just get a clean start with a the concrete and everything else, you know, and not have too high expectations for it to remedy what was already there.
Exactly.
All righty. You have a Merry Christmas, Rich.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 345-1140 is a phone number. Next week, Christmas show. Absolutely going to do a Christmas show because, you know, the nice thing is it's the nieces and nephews. You know, the young ones. And maybe, in the past, over the last 16 years, I have helped people find things as far as gifts for their loved ones, especially their home improvers, that really worked out for them. Maybe it's things that they did not think of. We'll also be playing Christmas music, which I enjoy when I get close to Christmas. Paul? When do you start listening to Christmas music?
Black Friday.
Really?
Yep. As soon as Thanksgiving is over, because I like to give Thanksgiving its time. It is a great holiday. People overlook it, and I hate it. Once it's over, Black Friday hits, I'm all Christmas, man.
I can't do it. It'll be 5 days before Christmas, 4 days before Christmas. I'll start, because it's the same song over and over and over again. You know?
Well, yeah, but you only get those songs for about a month out of the year. So I soak it in as much as possible.
My grandmother, she was like that. She would start listening. As soon as the radio station started playing Christmas music, she was listening to the radio. And then, honestly, she would, if she wasn't in the car, she would be putting records on in the house. Do you? I got to ask, do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, man.
Give me your top three. I'll take your top three in no particular order.
Can I include, like, series, trilogies? Because the Santa Claus movies with Tim Allen, that is up there. That's probably my number three.
I'll give you that trilogy. Yeah. I've only seen the first, but
they're all very good movies.
Very your generation.
Yes, exactly. Let me see. I'll go that. It's a Wonderful Life. I'll go number two.
Sure.
And
watch it every year.
Oh, yeah. Number one, I would have to say, I'm going to be really traditional here. I'll throw White Christmas in there, number one.
I
really enjoy White Christmas.
I have not seen that in forever. I'm going to go, okay, my sappy movie.
Yeah.
My sappy movie, and you know what? There are people who ask me to turn in my man card.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I'm older now. I love it. Love Actually.
Really? I've never seen that. Is that technically a Christmas movie?
It is very much a Christmas movie.
Okay, see, I didn't know that.
And I just love the writing. I love the acting. And it kind of examines every type of relationship you can imagine. So I dig that. And then my two silly movies. I have two that are very silly, but I watch them every year. Gremlins. Gremlins.
I didn't know that was a Christmas movie either.
That takes place. Mogwai was a Christmas present.
They did a study of all the favorite Christmas movies by state, and Gremlins was very high up there, very popular pick.
And, well, I remember my dad took us to the theater. We were kids. My sister was terrified. I mean, she was probably only like 6 or 7. Way to go, Dad. And finally, the greatest Christmas movie of all time. Die Hard.
Okay, see, I was going to go with that, maybe. That's up there for me. I love Die Hard. And
they all hold up. That's the real trick.
Yeah.
I'll watch old movies and go, yeah, this used to be good.
Yeah, but you can watch any of those three.
Anytime.
Good.
Jump in the middle
of
it.
There's not a time where you'll think, oh, man, this used to be cool. No. Now, Die Hard is still cool today.
And last thing I'll leave you with, because you do not remember this. I remember when Die Hard came out, and me and all my friends were like, Bruce Willis as an action star? He's a comedian. He'll never be an action star. Same thing with Keanu Reeves. Same thing.
And it's funny because now my generation, people that are a little bit older, younger than me, we only know Bruce Willis as an action star.
Somebody that kicks butt.
Exactly.
There you go. It's been a great show today. We will be back talking Christmas and the holidays. That is the home show in the can. Burn to a disc, put Neely in a shoebox underneath my mama's bed. I want to thank Paul for getting up early and pushing all the right buttons. Mr. Gary Powell for keeping his finger right on the pulse of the news. All of you that called in and made my life a lot easier. Be careful out there. Flooding until 6 o'clock or even later. So drive safe. I'm Richard McCann. See you here next Saturday, 6, 8, 10 till noon on the home show, News Radio WRVA.